Blog Talk Radio.
Evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Stuart Thompson. Welcome to Personal Transformation, a show for survivors, rather, a support show for survivors of childhood sexual abuse. Basically, what I'm trying to do here is to give others survivors support, wherever you may be, anywhere in the world. I'm here to give you my own affirmations of my own healing, and also to, talk about this issue of childhood sexual abuse. And welcome to 2016. I'm really, really looking forward to the new year in sight for personal transformation. And we've got a lot of things coming up in the new year, exciting things to be talking about. And I guess basically the movement is basically on in regards to as far as making the public aware of this issue. And I'm so excited to be here. I'm broadcasting live from the Gatehouse. It is it's January the, I don't even know what date it is. What's wrong with me? I think it's January the 6th. And, I got that right. Yeah. Sorry, January the 7th, I should say. And like I said, I'm broadcasting live from the Gatehouse. And it's dark outside. It's winter. Actually, it's not even very cold outside. It's like maybe -1 or -2. Today I got up above 0. Where's this winter we're supposed to have? Ladies and gentlemen, I have lots of things that I need to talk to you about tonight. What's going on at the house, and talk a little bit about the holidays. I will not do the full few hours, so which I typically normally would do. But nonetheless, I have some things to talk about, which I will cover. Hopefully, get it all covered here tonight, and we'll go from there. And next week, I have Alex, I have Steven. Both these gentlemen have come in with their guitars, and they performed before, and I did a live interview with them. Well, I got them coming in next Thursday, which will be the 17th of January, and it'll be from 7 to 9 p.m. I'm going to be a little tight next week, because as I'm going to be traveling in and out of town, out of Toronto, that is, near Toronto area, it's going to be a little bit of a challenge for me to get here. Hopefully, weather does not play a part in what I'm trying to accomplish next week, but it's going to be a little bit hectic next week, but nevertheless, I'm really looking forward to this interview. Both with Alex and Steve, and as you know, if you heard the interview from before, both of our survivors and both of our facilitators here at the house as well, and it's been a really, really beautiful journey along with these guys, watching them grow as I have to where I am now, and it's going to be really nice. They're going to come in here, they're going to play some music, we're going to talk about stuff, just about anything, anything to do with what we do here at the house. Well, you know, you just have to tune in and see exactly what we talk about there. And it's beautiful because they're going to be playing some music, and it's going to be very, very much rich in soul, and a beautiful thing. Anyway, you just have to tune in next week, and you'll have to listen. One of the things I need to mention, we are started in 2016. We will be doing our first partners group on January 23rd. And that'll be Saturday. And if you wish to register, you call the Gatehouse and speak with anyone on the staff or volunteers, and we'll sign you up. And again, as I've talked about this before, you can come in here, and you don't have to be married. It could be a best friend. It doesn't matter whether you're. It doesn't matter on your sexual preference whether you're gay or straight or transgender. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. You're very, very welcome here. No judgment. And we're here to talk about healing. That's pretty much what we're here to talk about. I really look forward to it because I get to partner with Art again. And we have a couple other facilitators coming to help us along the way. But I really look forward to this, doing this with Art again. As we, I think we have, we're almost like 24 people or something like that. No, don't quote me on that, but I know we have a lot of people signed up. And I'm really, really looking forward to it because it is so beneficial to the other individual in the relationship to understand the healing process of what that individual is going through. And, you know, if you've been with somebody all those years, for example, and you saw them the way they were before they started doing any healing, and all of a sudden they started doing some changes you know, with their, you know, well, with their mental state, it being their attitude and everything, and just they change. Like, I mean, like I did when I came here, I changed for the better, obviously, but nevertheless, it's beautiful to come and to do the change, but it's not very, always very beautiful for the individual on the other end if you have to be in a relationship, because sometimes, and I'm not saying this everybody's like this, but I mean, depending on the individuals and depending on the relationship, they've been together all that time, and then they go, they come into the program, like, for example, here's the gatehouse, and then they start doing process, and then they see all these changes. And most people, I can understand why they wouldn't understand, and what I mean by that is, well, if you're used to an individual being and behaving a certain way all these years, and all of a sudden they start to change, well, that would be a little bit confusing, and it also might be a little bit confusing about their behavior to begin with prior to going to get come here and get treatment. So it's beneficial and for both sides for that for the non-survivor, for example, to come here, and we help them along the way where they help them understand basically the healing process that their partner is going through. It's not an easy process, and I can't imagine at all what it would be like together in the first for the non-survivor to go through it, and you have to be empathetic at the same time, because if you had a person stuck with you, whether it be your spouse or your best friend, stuck with you through this whole time that you were, you know, you were going through your stuff, and they didn't walk away or push you away or anything like that, and you know what, they really really deserve that empathy and understanding, or at least be able to explain the process of what you're going through, what you're feeling. I mean, they deserve that much. Really, they do. You know, think about it. You know, especially if they've stuck with you throughout that whole time. So, that's going to be going on January the 23rd, and that'll be a Saturday from 9 till 3:30, 4 o'clock on Saturday. Art Lockhart, myself, and two other facilitators will be running the group, and I'm so excited to go and do this, especially new group, new year, all kinds of new things, and before I signed off before Christmas, I talked about the partners group rather, and we're talking about expanding it, making another day. So that's probably what's going to happen. It won't be this time around, but I'm guessing after I speak with Art a little bit more detail about this, we will probably extend it to at least add another day or a half a day, just to, well, give you a bit more time. We, you know, to process what we're talking about, and also gives us more time to talk about the things we're talking about. We feel that that there's just not enough time. A day just doesn't cut it. And this is what we've been getting from the other participants. So this is very important, because we rely deeply on what the participants say and tell us about what they're going through, because that is how we, we track this stuff. And this is what helps us with the funding at the gatehouse. By tracking so, we have evidence of our results, whether it be good or bad. And this helps us when we apply for grants. So we need this information. So when we have people come, we always ask them to fill out questionnaires after they're done, and we want to hear the good and the bad, and that's what we use, those tools, to help us with our grants. And it makes a big, I mean, it really, really does help. So what I've seen the staff here do at the house in regards to applying for grants, it's not an easy process. I've never done it before, and I am learning, but I'm telling you, it's definitely not an easy job. As I see, for example, like Maria, the manager of the gatehouse, and I've heard them talking, and not just Maria, just Paula and, you know, Paul, rather Brad and Art, and I hear them talk about it, and it's just not an easy process. We need to do this stuff in order for us to find money to help fund us, because we are private. We don't rely on any government funding or anything else. We rely on donations and grants to run the house, and that's basically how it's always been done. Granted, in the last years, the house has gotten better at grants, writing grants, and the gatehouse has been blessed in a lot of ways in that manner, because it's not that easy to ask for money, especially when it's a privately run place like this is. So when we get donations, we're always very, very grateful, and when we do get donations, the money is very well spent, and all you have to do is come to the house and we can show you how the money is spent in regards to, well, never mind just the staff, but I mean all the other things on top of it, like the programs, all the materials all cost money, And to run the house all costs money. You know, so all this stuff all costs money. It's no different than you living at home, as far as that's concerned. But the difference is, we're giving it away for free, and but we rely on donations to help to keep the place afloat. So, well, enough of that. Now I'm going to dive right into the assist training. We had originally planned for the assist training to be on January. I think it was the 23rd or the 24th. Let me just double check that again. And we've had to postpone it until February. The individual Brad was going to help me with that was not able to do it. So basically, the assist training will be on the 16th and 17th of January is what we planned. And we had a whole bunch of people had already signed up for this. So what we've had to change the date until February. And it'll be February the 27th and 28th, if I understand correctly. Let me just double check in my calendar a little bit deeper here to make sure that I've actually told you the right date. But we are taking names of people who are interested in doing so. So please, if you have any interest in taking the assist training, then I would recommend that you call the house and speak with any one of the volunteers or staff, and we can help you out with that. Yes, that was right. It's February the 27th to the 28th. And it'll be basically a day, from 9 o'clock until 4 o'clock. It'll be a full day both days. That's how much is involved. And myself and Brad will be doing it. And if Brad can't come here to do it, we have somebody else lined up to come in and help us out with that. And as far as I know, we have a lot of participants signed up for that as well. And we'll probably anywhere from 20 to 30 people will be in the assist training. And we have everybody there. We have facilitators from the gatehouse. We have our frontline workers, like police officers, for example, and other people as well coming in to take the course. And like I say, it's only 2 days. It'll be the 27th, 28th of February. If you're interested, please call the house. I'll touch base on those two items I just talked about, the partners group and the assist training before I sign off. Like I said, I'm not going to be on here the whole night. I just wanted to get back on here and basically grease the wheel, as they say, just to get myself back into it again. I'm really looking forward to next week. Like I said, I've got Alex and Steve coming in here with their guitars. Actually, Steve with his ukulele like he had the last time. And we'll have Alex with his guitar, or his axe, as he calls it. Well, a lot of musicians, they call their guitars axes, but he's coming in with his axe, and we got to keep coming in with his ukulele. So we're going to have some pretty good entertainment here and some really good insights. It'll be a really, really good night. And the nice thing about this, too, I really looking forward to this. Both these guys have never jammed together. They come to the house, they're both facilitators, but they've never, never jammed together. So it's going to be a really, really, really interesting night. Great music, and something for you definitely to tune into, as I've described before. Okay, so 2016. I had some things I want to do, which I never did last year. I never really had the time, and I'm going to take the time to do sure. Like, one of the big things I really want to get into, if I'm going to start doing, is once I get this mixing software that I'm waiting for, which I should get very shortly, I'm going to start doing videos. Basically, we're going to do video facilitation. So what's going to happen, how this is going to work, is what I'm going to do. I'll do it through YouTube or some other format or some other platform, but we'll pre-record it, and then we'll podcast it, whether it be through YouTube or some other media platform. I'm not too sure yet how I'm going to do, but most definitely it'll probably be YouTube, that's for sure, start off with, just to basically get my feet wet. So basically what I'm going to be doing is I will be, also very similar to what I'm kind of doing with the fit. And what I mean by that, I need to be a little bit more clear to what I'm going to be doing. So basically, for example, like what we do here at the house. So we have a group, and we have participants, and we talk about something. So what's going to happen is I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to get another facilitator or two facilitators, and whoever, anybody wants to be involved. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to role play. And we're going to talk about stuff. I mean, in essence, I'm not really going to be role-playing. I really don't want to use my own experiences, but it's really hard not to, considering where I am and what I've gone through. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about a certain issue, And I'll talk about how it affected me and what I've done and what I'm doing, and, you know, whatever the topic may be. And then I'll have another facilitator here beside me, and we'll talk about it in a way how we would do it at the house. And this way you'll get a good idea how we peer support here. And I think this is very important. With me being where I am now, and if I can get the right facilitators coming here and helping with this, I really, really believe that you'll get something useful out of what I have in mind in regards to video peer support. And this is something new. I shouldn't say it's something new. I know there's peer support out there for many, many different things. And I can't say that there's not peer support in video, because actually there is. Because if you go, like, for example, if you were to go to, like, for Twitter or Facebook, and you were to type in Bobby Parrish or Rachel Thompson or Athena Moberg, those are three ladies of great examples of giving peer support through multimedia, whether it be through Twitter or through Facebook or through YouTube, for example. And there's another platform, I can't think of it off the top of my head, but there's another platform they use as well, and it works very, very well. And you know, it's nice seeing their faces and nice seeing them talk, and plus you can interact. So I figure that either I'll do it live, or I'll probably release the first couple as a test pilot, and just see sort of response again. And if I get a good response, then I will continue on with that. But those are one of the things I'm going to be doing this year. I'm really, really kind of excited about that, because I'm stepping this personal transformation thing I'm doing to another level. And I really feel and believe that I can, I have something to offer you guys out there, you other survivors out there, that might help you along the way in your recovery. Maybe you'll get something, hopefully you'll get some good insights from myself and the other facilitator or facilitators that I'll have here with me doing this. So I'll be right here live, or rather, I'll podcast live right here from the gatehouse, and I'm very, very excited about doing it. I really feel that people will get something out of this, and I'm really, really looking forward to that. So that will be in the new year. I will definitely say that probably will not even happen. I'm hoping that I can do my first one by release my first one by sometime in February, probably before I do the assist. Before I do the assist training, probably the first or second week of February is my goal to release my first one, where I'll have a topic, as I've described earlier, short time ago, about I'll have a certain topic, and that will be our discussion, which we'll talk about, and all at a peer level. I just got to find the right person here that's willing to come and do it, and I have a few people that are very, very interested in doing it, so it'll be a beautiful thing once we give it a shot. But I want to pre-record it and release it as a podcast, so at least I can sit back and watch it versus have to sit back and do it live like I'm doing it now, which is fine, but it'll just be nice to see what I'm doing and to see, see where I'm at, basically. So, now another thing I need to chat on a little bit more about is personal transformation. Well, I have some guests in mind. I wanted to get some extra people last year, and it's just, the year went by and it's gone. So we have 2016. We have a new fresh year to start about this, a new fresh year for new things. Well, new things related to what I'm dealing with, what we deal with here, childhood sexual abuse. And I have some guests in line that I'm going to have come in. I know I have one lady in particular who, if you go onto Twitter and you type in, 21 deal breakers, 121 deal breakers, I should say. And Bibiana, if you're listening, I'm kind of excited. I can't wait to get you in here. And Bibiana, for example, she's written a book and she's going to release a CD at some point in the new year, which I know she's almost done it, because she's been talking about it on Twitter and Facebook. So I'm going to try to get her in the new year sometime. I'm probably going to try to get her in here in January or February as well. I'm looking forward to her. She's a DV survivor, or a domestic violence survivor. I really believe that, I know for a fact she has lots of good insights. She's a very, very wise woman, beautiful woman. She's got lots of good, valid things to talk about and say, not just for what she's done as far as her book and her music is concerned, But as far as being a survivor is concerned, and getting through all these loops and, you know, these hills and mud holes and crap that she had to deal with just to move on with her life. She's a very, very inspiring woman, a very, very inspiring woman, and I believe that she can help a lot of people. And I'm really, really excited to get her to come in here. We just got to settle on a date. So it'll be sometime between now and February that I will that I'll get her to come by the house. And if I can't get her to come by the house, if anything, I'll do a live interview with her via Skype. I really don't want to pre-record. I still firmly believe that doing it live from the house to me is more effective than podcasting. To me, I like the natural thing. I like saying, like, I want you to know that I'm here. I'm at the house, and this is what's going on. And it shows my passion and my dedication in regards to what I'm trying to promote here. And that, of course, is I'm advocating for to stop childhood sexual abuse is what I'm trying to do. It's been an interesting, I'm going to talk to the Hollies a little bit there a little bit too, and a little bit as well. But I also want to, I have some other guests too. I'm really, really keen. I'd like to try to get here. Now, I've already made the connection, but I'm going to get somebody. One of our facilitators, Leonard, he is of the indigenous population here, and I have spoken to him to get some of the members I'm not too sure who it would be, but some elders, or I'm not too sure who it's going to be, but he's agreed to talk to some of his elders. He said he's going to talk to some of his elders anyway, but in regards to getting someone in here, we talk about sexual abuse, well, in our reserves and in some of these remote places that's been going on for years, and not just about their abuse that they've had to endure while being placed in foster homes, for example, the children, being placed in Catholic schools organizations like that, kind of like Catholic schools. Or reform schools, or whatever you want to call them. But basically, this sexual abuse has been going on against them for years and years and years and years. And it's not right. I really feel that their voices need to be heard, and I want to, hopefully give them a window to do that. And I feel this is very, very important, I'm not going to get all political here right now because I'm not about being political. I'm about the problem. And I know it's a problem in their culture, and I really feel it needs to be addressed. And I think of other cultures with the same sort of issues, sort of the same sort of stigma, and I really would invite them to come in and to talk about it and at whatever level they're willing to do. But all I know is that my mic will be open, and society needs to know about this stuff. And I'm going to go out of my way to do whatever it takes to see this happen. And like I say, the public does need to know what is going on. It's not just behind closed doors of the so-called general population, if I can word it the way I have, but the much bigger picture here. It's a much bigger problem than people will ever realize. And I want to talk about it, and I would like for them to talk about it. So the world is aware, and maybe something will change. And that's what I'm kind of hoping we'll do. We get enough people listening to it, and we get enough people talking about it. It's a start. We've got to start someplace. And to me, this is the start. It's more than time. This stuff should have been talked about years ago to the level that I'm talking about. And I am going to try to do this. And I'm not going to try. I'm going to do this. Yes, I'm trying, but I am going to do this is really the bottom line is what I'm getting at. And I really believe that that some people, again, will get something, get something tangible out of this, some good information that will hopefully will help them, right? And there is help out there. I know it's sparse. Depends where you live. Demographics are a big, huge thing here in Canada. Like, we're the second largest country in the world. It's our landmass is what I'm talking about, right? So we have a huge country and only 33, 35 million people. And most of the big centers in Canada, they don't all have centers for for survivors to go of sexual abuse. Some do, some of them don't. I'm familiar with Toronto. I'm familiar with Ottawa. I know there's, I know Montreal was saying that. I didn't think it was anything in Montreal, but actually there is something in Montreal. I don't, I'm not too clear of who and what they are and what they do, but well, I know they help survivors of sexual abuse is what I'm trying to say, but I'm not too sure whether it's free, whether it's peer support is what I'm getting at, or is it done by a therapist? I have no idea. So I will find out as time goes on, and I think what I'm going to do, I finally released my blog, which I never got to doing last year, is that I'll definitely be posting all, well, at least the major cities in Canada that do provide this type of support, like Toronto does with the Gatehouse. And I know, like, even an example, like right close by Brampton, which is another city right close by, for example, they're waiting to open up a new one there. There's going to be opening one up in Brampton as well. And it's about time, like, it's really, really, really needed. And I know now we've got permission downtown Toronto, so we're basically going to open up another door in Toronto, downtown Toronto. I won't give all the details yet, but it just makes it easier for people living out to the east end of Toronto, much easier to get to a place like the Gatehouse for some type of therapy and treatment. So there's a lot of things that are happening, a lot of things going on. You know, I talked about guests, but again, I figured there's some other people I would like to get in here again. I'd like to get somebody in here from Toronto Police Services, I'd like to interview somebody from there as well. I'd like to get somebody in from. I know I've talked about. I'm not really into politics, but I think I'd like to get somebody in from excuse me, Department of Justice to talk about what the laws and. If there's been a change, or if there's been any amendments to the laws from the past, all these kind of things, anything related to our laws of sexual abuse, domestic violence, I mean, they somehow, what they've done, if I understand the definition of the law, they've incorporated a lot of the laws. Well, they've defined them differently, is what I'm trying to say. And so by having someone in from the Justice Department, then we can talk about the laws at a much deeper level, and so people understand that if you do decide, I know we had Estamora Jelinek in here, the lawyer. Remember, back in 2015, we were talking about. But she's a lawyer and our solicitor, depending where you're from. But she came in here and we're talking about litigation in regards to if you're a survivor and you want to sue or you want to, she primarily looks after that. She looks after that type of litigation. We had her come in. And the fact is, I'll probably speak with her to maybe help me make a connection with somebody with the Department of Justice in regards to this. And hopefully another person I'd like to get in here sometime in the new year. I don't know whether it'll be in March, maybe in March. I have no idea, but it'll be in the new year for sure. That's definitely beyond the place as well. I know I'm going to have Art back here again, the founder of the Gatehouse. I'll probably have him in here probably towards the spring or towards exam time. It'll probably be springtime. Maybe around Easter or something like that. I guess try to get him in here one more time. And we'll talk about the programs that are going at the Gatehouse. And, like, I mean, a lot of stuff going on here. Like, holy mackerel. I'll always talk about the programs. We have a Phase 1 men's program. We have a Phase 1 women's program. We have a co-ed program. These programs are 15 and 16 weeks long. We have a YAC program for youth, 18 to 24, which we'll do either as a co-ed program, like the Phase 2, or... we'll do individual groups of men and women, just kind of like with the Phase 1 men and Phase 1 women as well. So, and then we have our art therapy going on as well, and we have yoga therapy going on. So we have a lot of stuff going on here, a lot of different ways, different avenues for you to think about, to help you with the healing process. This baggage that I carried around all those years, pretty much almost 50 years, for pretty much 50 years. And I think about it now, the age that I am, that was a long time. And all I know is from my experience, when I was looking for help, I was grasping for anywhere. So all I know is that any way of trying to change my thought process, well, if it means coming to do art therapy or to do yoga therapy, well, I tell you, I would be the one to do it, that's for sure. These are great programs. And I know we're getting, great feedback from these programs, such as art therapy. I know that we just started another program on Monday, as both myself and Maria and I, we started another phase two group. I'm starting another men's program too, again in February, which I'm really excited about that as well. But Maria and I started that on Monday, and on Mondays we do a phase two program, which is going on even here tonight. We have three groups in the house here tonight. So this is a busy place here. Very, very busy place. Excuse me. And so, people need to know we offer these programs, like the air therapy. Like, it's a 12-week program, for example. The yoga therapy, and I stand corrected if I'm wrong on this, but I believe it's an 8-week program. And the feedback has been just incredible. So, I would really, really recommend that if you could come, or if you live in the Toronto area, or if you live outside the city, in the Golden Horseshoe, basically, and you're able to get here, we have some great programs here to help you to help you cope with surviving what you've had to endure all those years, right? It's free; doesn't cost you anything. If you want to bring cookies and leave them here? That's great. That would be great. But if you feel you must compel, you must do something, then bring some cookies. I mean, you don't have to bring anything. I'm just throwing it out there at you, right? We do like our comfort food here. We like our comfort food, like cookies, and we always have coffee, and we have tea, and I mean, we always have anything to try. Talking about this stuff's not that easy. And even if you are with a bunch of people, you think about it, strangers. Well, after 4 weeks or 5 weeks or even 16 weeks, well, we're not so much strangers anymore. I think we know each other pretty good, and in a very, very deep manner, where where most people would not touch and talk about this stuff. So to me, things like that just make it just a little bit easier. Just take the edge off. I threw in the cookie thing there. Well, cookies are a big thing here. I know when I came here 5+ years ago, I know I just loved it. I know that the group I was in and my two facilitators, they're the best. And to this day, I still think about them. I'll never forget them as long as I live. They helped me to be where I am now. They've got my foot in the door, got my feet wet, as they say, dealing with my crap that I've had to deal with all these years. So to me, it's very, very beneficial. If you can get here and you're willing to go into a group setting for peer support, well, this is the place for you. You don't have to, when you come here the first time and you're going to do group, the first group you do, you're not going to be with co-ed. So if you have a problem being with another sex, well, that's not going to be an issue, because you'll just be with your gender, for example. And after you've done the phase one and if you feel you want to work on yourself more, then we can go a little bit deeper. But the only thing is then, it means you're going to a phase two program, which is co-ed, which I've talked about many, many, many times. And we'll continue to do so. But the program, again, is 16 weeks. And we have, we talk about lots of things. And I guess basically we concentrate on a lot of things, but we do have a structured program. And basically our basis or our module that we focus on, is we talk about pause, we talk about mindfulness, or the four steps of mindfulness, for example. We talk about gratitude. Gratitude, huge, huge, huge. That's always, pause, mindfulness, gratitude. We talk about those things. And it's very, very important in regards to our healing, because if we talk to ourselves in a negative way all our life, well, how do you expect that to change just because you suggested you do that? Well, it just doesn't work that way. It's something that, you see, when we talk about working on stuff, we have to work on stuff. Like, I mean, the program is up wrong, but the idea is what we try to do is we try to be repetitive in a lot of ways. And a lot of the stuff we do is very repetitive because we have to be, we need to be repetitive because a lot of our thoughts that we carry, we hold, though we know deep down is false, but what happened to us, we tend to hold on to those feelings, knowing outright, right, that they're not true, we tend to believe them. And that's from a very, very young age. And I know people who have not been through this, well, if you've been through some sort of post-traumatic stress, for example, well, a lot of survivors, or the majority of survivors I've talked to, have got some form of PTSD. Everybody at a different level, everybody, you know, they have different ways of coping, or rather, they react differently depending on the severity of their PTSD. And we cope in different, many different ways. I mean, I've heard so many different things. You know, I think about how I cope with my PTSD. I mean, I'm telling you, it wasn't all good. I tell you, whenever I got triggered from a flashback or a nightmare, and I never treated myself very, very well. I don't need to get into all the details about that, but I never treated myself very, very, very well. I'll just leave it at that. But now that I've learned new coping skills, such as I talked about pause, mindfulness, and gratitude, well, this comes in very, very much in play into the phase two. And I love talking about that. In fact, I even love going in and co-facilitating with the other facilitator on this with other individuals. I love what the phase two program did for me. It made me transform, you know, personally transform in many, 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 many ways, which I never even thought possible. I have so much doubt. One of the facilitators that helped me, Al, he's been here pretty much right from the beginning, and Kelly. Well, Kelly helped me out. I've talked about this before, too. She helped me out in a lot of ways as well. But I have great reservations. And when I first did the program, it was only 8 weeks, and then they turned it into 16 weeks. But the first time I did it, I had great reservations on whether anybody could help me or not. I learned all the stuff about why I was feeling and why I was reacting the way I was. I did the phase one program. Well, what was I going to do with all that stuff now? I understand. I know what I feel now. It was great to feel. But what do I do with this stuff? How do I let this stuff go? Where, like, what is it? How does it serve me? Does it serve me in a good way? Like, I'd rather in a positive way? Does it serve me in a negative way? Well, I tell you right off the hop, most of it served me in a negative way. Meaning that once I got triggered, for example, because I wasn't really good at talking about pausing and mindfulness, so I really didn't apply a whole lot of that to myself at that time. I knew about it, but I didn't really know how to apply it, all because, probably because I just wasn't in that place, and it was just one of those things I had to work on. But I had to learn about this stuff in order to move forward. You know, when I started applying pause and mindfulness and gratitude is not an easy thing to do to apply to yourself, especially when you pretty much thought you were a schmuck all your life. It's just not that easy, just because somebody suggests to you that, try thinking this way. Well, it just wasn't that easy. That's something I had to teach myself, you know, and it wasn't an easy process, and it took its own time. And I've said this many, many times now. Anybody coming to the house, and in your healing process, we do not put a time limit on. There's no time limit for your healing. You understand? You heal in your own time. I can't tell you. My other co-facilitator can't tell you how much time. The founder, Art, can't tell you. The director, VD, executive director, Brad, he can't tell you. None of us can tell you how long it's going to take for you to heal. It comes down to the individual, like yourself, myself, putting in that huge effort, work for yourself, and you work on these things. All these things I learned from, like, phase one. You know, I talked about anger and guilt addictions and dissociation, isolation, loss, grief, you know, all these things that you are hanging on to whatever level it might have been. You're hanging on to all these things. Well, what the hell am I going to do with this stuff now? Well, this is what I had to process. This was the beauty of going into phase two, and this is where it helped me, because this is where I applied pause, mindfulness, and gratitude. We talked about the four steps of mindfulness. I've talked about this many, many, many times. You're unclear what I'm talking about. I won't get into a whole lot about it right now, but I will talk about it to whatever level that I am now. But if you're unclear and you want a little bit heavier definition, then I would suggest you go to YouTube or TED Talks and or just plain Google Dr. Jeffrey Swartz. You are not your brain. And he will explain at a much deeper level about the four steps of mindfulness. And another good person you could talk to, or rather, another good person to listen to would be David Mate out from Vancouver, again from TED Talks. And he talks a little bit about that as well, but not at the level of Dr. Jeffrey Swartz. But I highly recommend these videos, give you a better understanding of why we think like we do after going through this traumatic experience. And another thing we talked about at a really, really good level when we did a phase two program, we talked about neuroplasticity, which all relates back to your brain. And if you were to go online and you look at in your brain, and forgive me, I'm not going to say the top of your brain, but the back of your head, for example, okay, you'll see it like a gray matter. And anybody who's had any form of PTSD, it doesn't matter what type I'm talking about, if you've been through some form of this, you usually have this gray matter in the back of your head. And you can see it. If you're to go through if you're to go to a hospital and do an X-ray of your head, you would see this. You would see this light in your head, or this gray matter in your head. And that's from the post-traumatic stress. Now, the beautiful thing about it when I saw this documentary is that, and as Dr. Jeffrey Swartz talked about it. As time goes on, that matter I'm talking about in your head, it slowly starts to change its shade of color, and it's not as bad. Yes, it's there, but it's not to the level that it was. I know that, like, for example, like what I'm talking about now, like, you know, with the phase two. Well, the more I talk about my problem, I've talked about this a lot before. The more I talk about what happened to me, well, the less. Well, yes, it was still painful. It still is painful, but it doesn't own me like it did before. So, talking about this problem, I had no drugs, no alcohol, no other forms of stimulation to change my thoughts. I had no synthetic drugs, nothing like that. I haven't been on any of that stuff. Everything I did was all about feeling. Okay? I talked about my stuff, and yes, it hurts. And that was the biggest thing, I guess, is talking about it. And if it hurts, well, I guess, well, no, not I guess. That's good, too, because if it doesn't hurt, then you know it's not bothering you. And this is kind of what we say around here. Well, yeah, well, it may be painful, but if you don't talk about it, then that pain is not going to, it's not pain, it's not, that pain is not going to subside or disappear. Well, I tell you, though, I've talked about this myself here now lots and lots of times now. I know that the pain that I carry, I tell you, is nowhere near like it used to be. In fact, I rarely experience that type of inner pain, which I've described in the past, where it's inside you and where it can control you in many, many ways, such as your eating habits, your sleeping habits, relationships where you're feeling like you're feeling awful, and you have this nasty feeling inside where you'll isolate yourself from people or just associate, not talk to anybody. Well, you know what? I don't get that stuff anymore. I really don't. And if I hadn't got the help from the phase two program, I wouldn't be where I am now. And the help, but it was all about talking about my trauma. You see? All about talking about that. And about all those things I've talked about. I mean, over a period of time, I talked about all those things I'm talking about. Like I talked about anger, you know the loss, the guilt. All those things. I talked about all those things over a period of time. And what I did is I took one thing at a time. I took my sweet time about it. I know when I first started coming here, I just wanted to get here and get real. And it just didn't work that way. Well, it did, but I had to work that. And it took its own time. When I talk about time, this is what I mean by it took its time. Everybody processes things differently. There's never a time limit, as I described not too long ago. There's no time that we come here and we pick at each one of these things, as I've described, for example. And then if the facilitator is paying attention and you're paying attention, and, we talk about your own stuff, and there's certain things that are bothering you. Well, we try to help you process those things best we can. But ideally, though, you got to remember, this is only peer support. It all falls back on you. Again, it falls back on you, the individual, like it did me and every other person that comes to this house. We did it just by talking about it. You know, I think about, man, if I had this 25 years ago, I can't fall back in the past. I can't change things where they are. That's just the way it is. But I tell you, if I would have had this 25 years ago, things would be so much different. And I really know I'm really a good person for going back and saying, what if? Well, that's a big what if. I've heard this from many people as well. But nonetheless, it's here today and now. It's present. It's available. But it has helped me in a really, really good way that I've at least been able to, you know, change things about myself in a much more positive manner. So, you know, I've talked about self-destruction. Well, I tell you, I was the king of self-destruction. And I even, you know, don't get me wrong here, folks. I'm not claiming I'm healed. Yes, I still have some things I'm working on. And, excuse me. And I'd be lying to say that I wasn't. Well, at least I can say, though, that yes, I have some things to work on. But I know that the things that I was working on in the past, for example, things that kind of controlled me when I was triggered, for example, such as my anger and my guilt. You know, those things were very, 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 had a very, very good handle on me and how I reacted in many, many different situations, everything from personal relationships to my work, just me being me, you know, and I had to learn about that stuff. I really did not understand that. As a child, I learned about anger really, really fast, and I know I went to martial, I had to go to martial arts, for example, just so I had some sort of control my anger, because if I didn't, I probably would have done something really, really stupid. That's all I know. For the direction I was going, for how angry I was. I didn't even understand why I was so angry. You know, yet I went and I was an angry person. Now, obviously, I do understand why I was so angry, but I choose not to be, or rather, I choose not to be so angry anymore, because it certainly doesn't serve me in any way whatsoever. All anger does for me is, all it does is help me disassociate with people, isolate myself to people. I could even fall back on some form of one of my addictions, and that would be my coping skill. But what purpose does that do me? What purpose does that do me? Doesn't do me any good at all. It hasn't done me any good at all in the past. And, this is why I really enjoy talking about this, because if you hear me and you see me, and if you were to talk to other people in the house that knew me when I came in here 5 years ago, you would know and understand what I'm talking about. And you would know that it's possible to change, well, those thought patterns you have going in your head, like with your mind. No, it is definitely possible. You know, all this false belief that I carry, I pretty much have that swept, onto the dustpan and in the garbage. And that's what's going to stay. Because it never served me. All it did was keep me down. It made me miserable, and I never felt good about myself. And, the hell with that stuff, But trust me, what I'm talking about here, I'm not trying to make it sound easy. I'm not saying it's no cakewalk, if you want to call it that way. It's not an easy thing at all. I think about how much effort and time I put into myself to heal myself. It's just no drugs or alcohol. I did it all by feeling. And maybe be very clear about this too. This may not, what I'm talking about may not be for everybody. It may not be right for you. But at least I tried it, and it helped me, and I know many others have done the same thing. Doesn't mean that it'll help you. So this is what I'm doing, be something you might want to consider, or at least something you might want to look into. And if it doesn't work for you, then at least it's been your choice, and you decide what is best right for you. But I'm here talking about it because I want you to know about it, because it makes me, I'm very passionate about what I'm doing, which I've more than said many, many times. I really enjoy sharing this stuff because the public needs to know, or you out there, my audience, you need to know that this sort of stuff, this type of healing, for example, is definitely available if it's in your area or you have the opportunity of getting it, or you have the means of getting to where where you are. It's a problem in the city, it's not a big deal, but if you're out in the middle of nowhere or suburbia, so it's a bigger issue. Now, if you got internet access, at least you have that form of support if you can't afford a therapist at where you are. You know, and not that there's a lot of therapists out living in the boonies. You know, well, there is, but are they qualified to talk to you about sexual abuse that you that was done to you when you were a child? You know, there's lots of things to consider, but I know coming here has helped me in ways I can't stop talking about, and I probably never will stop talking about it. But you need to know that this type of therapy, or you know, just it's another form of cognitive behavioral therapy is what it is. I mean, we are not therapists, and I'm sure that's a rather, and we're not. I mean, we don't even have any therapists on staff, but we don't tell you what to do. We never say you should do this or you shouldn't do this. It's all purely about talking about what happened to you, what your experience was. And if you don't talk about your experience, you just sit there for the 15 weeks, for example, and you listen to everybody else, well, that's fine too. We don't, the Gatehouse will not put that type of pressure on you. Yes, we would like you to contribute, but if you can't, you can't. We're not going to judge you for it. This is what I love about coming here. See, there's judgment. There's no judgment here. That's why I love coming here. There's no judgment. You can talk about things related to what you've been through. And, you know, if anything you're going to get is you're going to get good insights. That's my experience anyway. Whether it be from one of the facilitators or from one of the other participants that are going through the exact same thing you are. You know, yes, there are different experiences, but they're still carrying the same type of emotions, the same type of baggage. Whether how it varies is irrelevant, but it's still the same type of baggage. And carrying that around is certainly not very healthy at all. And all I know is that given the opportunity, like for example, I came here last night, for example, and I had the opportunity of doing Sacred Path with a group of men. And I'm always so honored when they ask me to do that, because when we talk about Sacred Path, and again, this is a topic I've talked about periodically off and on over the last year and a bit, is that our Sacred Path, if you don't quite understand what I mean by that, is that our Sacred Path is about moving forward. So it's about digging up those things I was talking about, and processing them, and being mindful that when something happens and you feel bad, you find another way to get yourself out of that thought process. You know, such as grounding, for example, finding different grounding methods to help you when you are triggered, for example. We help you find ways to do that. We help you with understanding your thoughts and feelings, what you're feeling in regards to like your anger and your guilt and your shame. You know, we help you understand about your isolation and your disassociation. We help you understand about your core. Your core is a big, huge thing. Your core is all about your core anyway. What you told yourself and what your core tells you, you know, like what we call our inner child, for example, like that's basically what we call it. We make reference. We do 3 weeks of the inner child or 3 weeks of your core work. You know, you call it what you want, but we call it inner child here. And we work 3 weeks on that. And that's very, very important, you know. And we talk about boundaries, for example. All these things we learn about. And you know, we talk about good boundaries, bad boundaries. You know, we talk about good anger. Anger is good. You know what? We have every right to be angry. But it's just what we do with that anger is the question. You know, when you can be angry, it's healthy to be angry. And as I've stated, it's perfectly normal. And we have the right to be angry. But it's just what we do with that anger is could be an issue or not be an issue. But we talk about those things. We talk about loss, for example. And we talk about the guilt. Guilt is a huge, huge thing. You know, we talk about guilt quite a bit, actually, and how it affects us. So, these little things, like when you go through each one of these components, as I've described to you, and this is the beauty of the Phase 2 program. We, like, yes, you talk about all those things. Now, what you do with all those things? Now, in the Phase 2 program, we help you challenge yourself to try to get past that. We can't take it away from you, but we can help you have a better understanding of what you're feeling, and we can help you you know, find better ways of dealing with it, or better coping mechanisms, for example. And but primarily, it's up to you, right? It's about self-help. I say we're not therapists here, or doctors, and resources. We're just talking about it. And what I've seen and experienced talking about it sure made a big difference for me. Now, I can't say for you, but I know for me that talking about it's made a huge difference. I like, for example, when I was doing this Sugar Pass talk last night, I talked about how when I came to the house, I had this bag on my back with probably 150 pounds of rocks in it. And I talked about my story the very, very first time, and like it was like, wow, it was gone. Yes, well, what happened to me, well, that's still there, but the fact is that that bag of weight I was carrying in the back is gone. It was such a burden taken off my shoulders that I actually was able to talk to somebody at the level that I did talk about it. Like when I told my story to Deb Mayberry in her book, Unlock the Door Beyond Sexual Abuse. Like, that was huge for me. You know, I talk about talking about your story. Well, I know that the more I talk about my story, yes, I had pain and I felt this and I felt that, but I know that after a while, the more I talked about it, it had less effect on me. So basically, yes, I still had anger and the guilt. Well, that's another thing. For example, I carry no guilt no more, and I have nothing to forgive for, and it's all related to my thoughts, what I'm thinking now. By transforming and bringing my thought process to another level, which I've never experienced. And that was the beauty of going into phase two, because I learned all this stuff. This is where the other facilitators and the other participants will help an individual along that way, both from their own experiences and from ways we show you, helping you find out better coping mechanisms than what you've done in the past. So yes, we have, here at the house, we have different, we do different programs here, but it's all basically comes down to healing, right? And the question is, really, is put to the individual or the participant that comes to the house and wants to heal. And, well, like I said, pretty much right from the beginning of this conversation about coming to the house, that the more you put into it, is the more you're going to get out of it. So the harder I worked at what I was doing, that's when things started to change for me. And I mean, I did all kinds of things. I mean, what I do may not work for you or anybody else. It may. I have no idea. I know that when I started processing my junk, the more I talked about it, then that's when my transformation started. I started applying pause. I started applying gratitude. I'm still not pretty good at applying gratitude to myself, but I'm certainly a lot better than I used to be. And it's like somebody paying gratitude to you for something you've done. I've never been very good at accepting compliments, but granted, even something like that has gotten better, you know. Again, it falls back on my false belief, you know, believing you're always a schmuck. And then also believing that, for example, paid me a compliment, I would figure that they either wanted something from me or was either the hidden agenda, basically. And I thought they were full of crap. I always figured that was something. But that was all false perception. You understand? It was my false belief, and it all falls back to what happened to me when I was a child. And, you know, I've heard everything told to me, like, you know, put your chin up and walk away, and it'll all be fine. Well, you know, that's all a load of crap. You know, as far as I'm concerned, you don't have to do anything. But what I would suggest, like for myself, if you're a survivor and you have this going on, you have that going on, if you get a chance to find someone you can talk about this, that's going to give you some sort of empathy. Empathy goes a long, long, long way. You don't need somebody, whether it be a survivor or a non-survivor, you don't need anybody like that going up to you and telling you what you should be doing or shouldn't be doing. Because we don't do that here at the house. We don't tell you should or you shouldn't. It's all up to you. If you're brave, you know, you're brave enough to come up those stairs to come inside the house, now that's a big thing. I've talked about those stairs many, many, many times. And, you know, right now, where I'm thinking and seeing and believing, I love coming upstairs now, but I know when I first came here, I was terrified coming upstairs. And a lot of other participants I talk to now, whether it be male or female, they're damn terrified, just like I was. I can totally relate to that. So, lots of things to think about. You know, I've given you my insight or my experience of what happens around here in the house, and the phase one program, the phase two program. You know, I never took any magical pills. I did it all naturally. I felt every feeling. I felt every thought. I processed it the best way possible that worked for me. And if you out there, you have this opportunity where you have somebody to go and talk to you about this that gives you that type of empathy that I'm describing, then it's definitely possible. You know? And when I see other survivors that have gone through what I've gone through and see them change, well, it gives me hope too, right? So it gives me hope to want to push forward and move forward and try to change things somewhat anyway, right, for myself. And it has worked. I think the biggest thing I've done, now remember, you know, I talk about vulnerability. That's another thing right there, too. I've been more than vulnerable, but that being vulnerable is basically, well, it's basically turned a new leaf for me, if I can put it in that context. And what I mean by turning a leaf for me is like, it's like night and day, or like apple pie, lemon pie, or chocolate ice cream and vanilla ice cream. It's like just totally different how I think and feel now, all because I've talked about those things as I've described. And so if they weren't easy, and there was a lot of work on my part, and I had to pick up one at a time, but I guess what I'm getting at is at least what I've did, it has worked, and I've seen it work with other people. You know, another video I would recommend you watch too is if you don't understand about post-traumatic stress too, there's also Megan McKellar. If you find her on TED Talks as well, that's Dr. Megan McKellar, by the way. And also another person too, who's very could help you as well, understanding your post-traumatic stress on what it does to you and how it affects you. Another person you could listen to might help you would be Dr. David Suzuki. And if you go onto YouTube or onto TED Talks, and if you type in PTSD and Dr. David Suzuki, then you will find a beautiful documentary that he's done on that that was put on Nature Things a few years ago, where he explains in depth on many levels on how the post-traumatic stress affects you and treatments and different things. He dives in all sorts of different places. Really good film for you documentary for you to watch. And it might be helpful to you. I know it was for me. I've seen all those videos, the ones I've talked about countless times now, because we show them to our participants and hoping that it would help them as well. So, I can't say I know them word for word now, but I know them pretty good. But I know those videos, basically self-help videos or documentaries. And it's really, really good insight. And I know it was useful for me. I want to talk about neuroplasticity in your brain. Well, yeah. Well, sometimes I don't wonder where my brain is. But nonetheless, I'm here. And I'm cognitive. And I'm very aware of what I feel now. And I'm very aware when I'm put in a situation where I could be potentially triggered into something or into an area where I don't really want to be, but at least I'm aware now. And if I am triggered, at least I can apply some kind of grounding or pause to my thought process and change, and not react in a bad manner that could hurt somebody else or hurt myself. So to me, learning those skills and getting those tools which I've learned have been very beneficial for me, my healing. And it's definitely possible for you out there too. And I mean, all you got to do, it doesn't, you know, if you have the opportunity, it's just go try it and see. You know, anything has got to be better than what you might be thinking from this experience. I know it sure was with me, and it sure made a huge difference on what I believe in myself and what I believe in other people. So my whole thought perception my neuroplasticity, as I've talked about it, my thought patterns, my beliefs, my core beliefs have all changed because I have talked about all those things at great levels, not just with participants in groups, but with other facilitators. I've talked about it, read about it, watched it on video. I've got lots and lots and lots and lots of hours involved in this and getting to understand what I'm really truly thinking and feeling. And if you know me, it wasn't an easy task because I've always been such a, I've used this term too many, many times, I'm really a hard ass when it comes to believing people and what they're saying and just leaving in the good common man, I guess, for what is definitely possible. So when I talk about it with the passion that I do, that I'm hoping that you will get my sort of, you know, enthusiasm towards wanting to change, you know. This has not been an easy process. And yes, I'm still fighting on something, but I'm sure as hell I'm not where I was 5 years ago. I don't have to run now from things as before I would run from everything. Relationships, you know, many different things. I would run away, and I don't do that anymore. I prefer to stick around and deal with it now. That's one of the beautiful things I learned about coming here is that by learning these things, I've been able to help myself move on at a level which I never thought possible. So I really believe that I can say for myself anyway, that I believe that if I keep pushing myself further and further and further, that I will keep getting better and better and better. And for example, I won't be, like for example, if I get triggered now, I certainly do not react like I used to react. I'm more apt to, I don't know, I just don't react the same way. And it is so necessary for me to keep pushing on like this because I think about all the things I've lost in life. I'm not talking about materialistic things. I'm talking about other things. The core value things, such as relationships with people and things like that. And not believing in myself to move forward. Realizing you have. Potential to do other things is not something that easily came my way. And I know from looking at and talking to other survivors, it's been the same sort of deal. You know, it's always easy for someone else to tell you that you're really a good person, but to believe it is another story. And if you've lived all your life believing that you're not a good person, just because someone tells you that you are, you're not going to change your thought just because they said so, right? I sure as heck didn't. I had to basically... I had to basically retrain my brain. And that's kind of what I was talking about last night. I know it's due to the sacred class I was doing. I had to retrain my brain. I had to talk about neuroplasticity. I had to talk about other things. I had to talk about guilt and loss and anger and fear and anxiety. I had to talk about all that stuff. But I had to talk about it a little bit at a time and process it and go for some kind of a logical plan that will keep me in check, you know, such as grounding techniques. You know, I do a couple of different things to keep myself grounded, you know, like when I get triggered, you know, everything from, like I keep a stone in my pocket, I keep an animate object in my pocket. I found this beautiful stone out along Lake Ontario, which I keep in my pocket all the time. And to me, that is a form of grounding. Whenever I get in a situation where I might be triggered, that's an example of a grounding tool that I have. I have this beautiful little stone to keep in my pocket, and if I get triggered by somebody or some event or something, I just put my hand in my pocket, and then I quietly say things to myself, whether I meditate, or I pray or whatever I do, I change that thought pattern. Instead of going and running away. I just don't do that anymore. Now, at least I deal with it head on. as before, I wouldn't do that. But learning these tools have been beneficial for my well-being in many different ways, not just for my mental health, but for my physical health as well, because this, what I've lived with is for all these years, has affected my health, it's affected my health quite a bit. And I could be a lot healthier, but I'm pretty, well, it's going to get better. But nevertheless, it has affected my health at a really, really good level. And I want to push, well, basically I am. I'm pushing to try to change things. So and what I mean by that is that by doing so, by talking about it, then things will change. You know, by just sitting there and not, as I've done for all those years, and just sat there and not done anything about it, has not served me well at all. You know, it's pretty bad. Well, no, it's not pretty bad. I shouldn't say that. Let me rephrase it. But it's bad for me that I choose to, you know, that when I get triggered, I'll disassociate and I'll isolate myself. You know, I still struggle with that, for example. When I said I'm not perfectly healed, well, no, I'm not. I have some things I need to work on. You know, I'm human, and this is what humans do. So I'm told. So yes, I have some things I need to work on. Well, I sure as heck I'm not like where I was 5 years ago. And by me telling you my experiences, I really hope that you can, well, if you have this opportunity to find a place to come and heal, then I really recommend that you do that. And you will feel, well, you're so much better towards yourself like I do. And it is possible. I'm hoping that I'm giving you hope of some sort anyway, at least, that there's definitely a door that you can open and you can find some kind of help. And that kind of help is not easily found in most areas in the world. I mean, it is in the big cities, as I've talked about, but it's just not that simple. And I'm just going to keep fighting here for that. And it's necessary. For my well-being, and as far as I'm concerned, that if somebody can get something from what I've talked about and feel and believe, then I'm doing what I think I should be doing. Now, what I should be doing is about what I think I should be doing. And that's talking about childhood sexual abuse. See, that's why I feel... I don't feel bothered sitting here talking about this the level that I am. It just doesn't bother me anymore. At one point, it might have bothered me a little bit, but now it doesn't bother me at all. I'm really passionate about what I'm doing and what I'm talking about. So I will, sometimes I'll just, well, I just do it. I guess that's just pretty much it. I just do it. I talk about it. And do it, and hoping that someone will get something out of this, so that either it'll help them move on through an experience that I've gone through, or somebody else has gone through, or maybe I know something different anyway. But I gotta keep fighting about this, and we're in a new year now, 2016. I kind of don't want to, I have no reason to. Well, they give up, for example. What I've learned, the tools I've learned, all I want to do is basically pick up the slack where I thought I might have been slacking a little bit and basically push and fight forward. This issue of sexual abuse, there's many different things you can talk about, and I really look forward to doing this video stuff with regards to... Where I will role play and a certain thought or feeling in regards to a topic, and then and with the guidance of a facilitator that I'll have with me will help me guide me find another way or another path. And keeping in mind that the facilitator that I have with me when doing this will neither tell me I should or shouldn't do this. It'll be all my decision all the way through. It'll never be him or her, for example, telling me what I should or shouldn't do. No, and like I said, we never push that upon people to to do that. So I've left you some things in your egg basket to think about. Like I say, we're in a new year now. We have I'm gonna have a lot of things going on here as far as my personal transformation is concerned. My own healing continues on, and we are going to have some great interviews here. We have some great programs coming up the new year at the Gatehouse, and I just love talking about it. So now think about, like, for example, like next week, for example, I'm very excited about Steve and Alex coming here. That's going to be just, that's just going to be just totally mind-blowing. Them coming here and performing with you, it's going to be a really, really good, exciting show. It's going to be music all through the house. And I know, we're down here in Studio 4, as we call it here at the Gatehouse, or Room 4, but we call it Studio 4 now, but we transformed the room into a studio. And, really not much to see. It's just a big, it's a small room. It's all soundproof. I don't even hear stuff. I hear very little going on upstairs in the house. The way it's so, well insulated for the sound. But the acoustic in here are phenomenal. I know that when we had Alex in here and Steve in here, even though they were at separate times, the quality of sound coming out of this room is phenomenal. This is just a small room. Like, it's fantastic. But, so folks, like I say, I'm not going to talk on a whole lot longer. I'm pretty much finished. I needed to talk about those things just so you get an idea what the program is about here at the house. And I'm hoping they gave you some good insight of how it works here in regards to how we do things here, too. I know that in the coming year that we're gonna be very busy here now. I'm already booking one-on-ones right now, and I know with all the things I got to go, I have a pretty full plate, but that's all right. I don't mind that at all. I like to keep busy. That's probably my addiction or my coping mechanism. I like to say is because that keeps me busy and it keeps my mind preoccupied. I'm a very good person for sitting down and just doing nothing. I have to have some pretty good company before I'll do that, where I feel relaxed in order for me to do that. But if I'm not, then I won't. I will just, I like to keep busy as my point. I was never brought up that way. I was brought up, my grandparents were basically hardworking immigrants that's kind of the way I was brought up. I work hard that way too, and I've had to even apply that hard work I talked about for myself, my own healing. And I had to kind of take that approach like I would if I was doing a job outside of me. So any job I do, I always take on with and I'll give 150%. Well, I had to apply that 150% to me in my own healing in order to move forward. And that wasn't easy, as I've described over the time here this evening. It's not easy at all. So, in the new year, here we are. Talk about the program. Okay, now, like I said, I'm not going to be on here much longer. I'm pretty much said all I'm going to say, but it'll be much more... next week will be much more interactive and hopefully inspiring for those listening out there with the music Alex and Steve, their own experiences as well. January 23rd, as I talked about in the program, we have another partners group. So if you want to call the Gatehouse at 416, I remember the phone number. I think I remember it after all this time. 416. 255-5900. You speak to any one of the staff or volunteers, and they will help you get you signed up for the partners group. We have the SIF training, which is going to be happening again, which we have to preempt it, move it to February, because we were originally going to do it in January, And it wasn't because we didn't have enough people. We certainly did, but the other Colfax military that was supposed to do it with me is not going to be available. So we had to move it till February. February 27th, 28th. Excuse me, the last weekend of February. And it will be Saturday and Sunday. Yes, there's a cost involved. But if you call the house, we can give you details on that if you're interested. And I really recommend it if you're a frontline worker or, whether it be police, fire, ambulance, social worker, anything like that. Anybody working frontline, I just give you two examples. Pop my head, I would stand out. But, and it's not. I mean, just working with people, I mean, it's a really, really good school to have. I took this program last year, and then I did the facility training, which was a week long. And I know I'm just eager and very, I'm just playing very eager. I want to get out there and start giving some of this back. So our first program will be, like I say, February 27th, 28th. What else do I need to mention here tonight as well? What am I forgetting? I know we have another bowling thing coming up, which will be in March or February sometime. I'll give you the date on that. We'll be doing some more fundraising for the house. That's going to be coming up in the New Year. Coming up, we are in the New Year. What's wrong with me? Coming up later on in the year, we've got a lot of stuff going on. It's going to be a very, very busy year. Lots of stuff going on. I'll be doing lots of interviews. The house is exceptionally, exceptionally busy. A lot more people coming to the house. I know in the last 3 years, I've seen the numbers really, 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 add up. They really added up. There's more people coming through here. Like tonight, for example, we have three groups in here tonight, but as of March, we will have, February, March, we'll have four groups in here again. I know that on Wednesday night, on the men's group, we have four groups. I know that on Tuesdays, when we do the women's groups, we have four groups going in here at the same time. And now on Monday, we have the group I'm doing with Maria. And then we also have an art group in here. We also have a therapy group. So the house is busy, basically, from Monday to Thursday. Plus, we have our Sunday drop-in, which is on 2 to 4. We're located at 3101 Lakeshore Boulevard West, or Old Etobicoke, as I always say, Toronto, Ontario. And 3101 Lakeshore Boulevard West. So we're right near Kipling, and we are basically north of Humber Campus. We're basically, we'd be the north east corner of Humber Campus. And we've got, behind us, we've got Seton House, Addiction Center. And, if you needed to find the address, it wouldn't be hard to find a gate house. Just go on to Google and you can Google the gate house. And it'll give you directions to get here and give you a phone number as well. So our phone number is, like I said, is 416-255-5900. And if you're interested in either the partners group or the assist training, please call and put your name in before the time is done. We will be having more assist training in the future, and we will, of course, having more partners groups in the future as well. Oh, there's one thing we're starting to do here now, too, I always forgot about. We're also starting to do work with families now. So basically, if you're in a family, I'm just giving you an example, okay? If you're in a family and you have children and they've been abused, for example, and whether it be within the family or outside the family, well, we can take in the whole family and we could basically work with the family to help get that youth past what's happened to them. And we've just started doing that now as well. That was before the new year. We're still kind of seeing where it's going to go and seeing what kind of effect it's going to have. I know that what we apply to this program is very similar to all the other programs we do. It all falls back to the pause and the mindfulness, gratitude, and that's also involved very much in that as well, which we apply or try to apply to the individuals going through it and get them and help them understand what they're thinking and feeling. And then again, like I say, we're not giving them any kind of magical pill or anything. We don't have any of that stuff. It's just all natural feelings of feeling your feelings. your pain, your anger, your guilt, your happiness, your sadness, all that sort of stuff. I know it was, I was amazed, totally amazed. I'm still kind of amazed on what I can actually feel and think right now. And it's all a tribute to what I've done here in my own effort in regards to wanting to transform into a better person. And I strive and try to do that every day. Every day I push and I push and I push and I push. Well, I did not be in a, I'd really be in a bad state, that's for sure right now. Well, I'll always be eternally grateful to the Gatehouse for what they, how they've helped me and helping me find a purpose in life that was conducive to where I would like to be. So I extend my gratitude to the Gatehouse at all great levels for how they've helped me to move on to where I am now. And I know that I've seen a lot of people come through here, and I've seen a lot of people, you know, change or transform. That's the beauty of it, you know, lots of transformation. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I think my time is just about done. I've talked enough. Next week, like I say, it's going to be kind of an open book here. We have two musicians coming in, and they're survivors as well, and musicians, so lucky for us. And it's going to be very, very, it's going to be a very, really good show next week. A good example of personal transformation when you listen to these guys will be a very good example of that. If you're in need of crisis, you're in the greater Toronto area, call the Gerstein Center at 416-929-5200. And if you want a 24-hour line, you can also call, it's an 800 number, so it doesn't matter if you're in Toronto or you're outside of Toronto, but you can call the Colburn Crisis Center in Durham at 1-800-742-1890. And if you're in the Toronto area again, if you want to call just Stress Line at 416-408-4357. Folks, it's great to be back. It's 2016. It's going to be a great year for personal transformation. You have a lot of great, exciting things coming up. I didn't disclose everything that I have I have planned. I just threw a little tidbit here and there, but I do have some exciting things coming up, and I'm looking forward to doing some of these interviews that I have coming forth. Look forward to doing some of these things, such as the video, and just being here and talking to you, and let you know that there's somebody out there that does care about what you think and feel, and you know, it's just great to be here. Talking about gratitude. Well, I have a lot of gratitude. I have tons of gratitude for the Gatehouse for giving me this opportunity to do what I'm doing here now. Yes, I couldn't be out there doing it, but I'm here, and it's now, right? What can I say? Anyway, folks, take care of yourself. Self-care is what it's about, and try to have a good week, and forgive me if I might be just a little fraction late next week. I don't think I will be because, like I said, I'm working out of town this week, and I'm not even going to travel. I'm just going to be staying in the motel where I'm going to be working at. But the night of the show, I definitely will. I'll leave early, so I'm here in lots of time because this to me is very, very important, and I will be here. So, folks, you have a great week. Thank you for tuning in. And again, the Gatehouse located at 3101 Lakeshore Boulevard West in Toronto, Old Etobicoke. We can be reached on the web at www.thegatehouse.org, and you go onto our website, and if you want to see the programs we offer, we have it there. My radio show, for example, you'll see a video blog that myself and Charmaine Lovern have done through James Buffer, and I cannot forget Deb Mayberry as well, and Brad Hutchins, because all four of us were involved in this. We have a weekly blog, which we release, which is a video blog, and we talk about some things such as I described, like in the Phase 1 program, we talk about different topics all throughout. So if you tune, if you go to our website, you can catch that. And on anything else, if you need any sort of manuals for a support group regarding what we do here at the Gatehouse, You can get it for free by downloading it, for example, which we give away. We don't charge you for it. If you want the actual manuals from the gatehouse, then we will have to charge you. See, these manuals are actually pretty expensive. In fact, what we're doing to cut costs. Remember I said from the beginning, we are strictly privately, we rely on donations and grants and private funding or whoever gives us money to survive. So these manuals that we print to give the participants cost money. And what we've done to try to curb the cost a little bit is we've cut back on the paper. And we've condensed it a little bit more. Not that the program is definitely not shorter. We haven't changed that whatsoever. The topics are the same. Just the information, what we've done is we've refined it a little bit more. And, you know, we certainly don't want to put your information overload, that's for sure. But we've condensed a little bit more just to cut back on the cost. So, folks, have a great week. Thank you. And we'll be talking to you. Thank you. Bye for now. Good night.